talking about things that might be working beneath the surface in a quiet way, subtly, to undermine your walk, to undermine your faith, to undermine God's plan for your life. And we're going to talk about, all we talk about in the Bible are things that have a potential to sabotage where we are with God, right? But we've been dealing with some more subtle things and just some specific things. We're going to deal with one more here this morning before we move on and get into some other things for the fall. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, that's really probably the only scripture. I'm going to reference a couple other things, but that's really the only place we're going to turn today. Now we're going to read this. It says, this is not a reference to David, for after God... I was reading it there, and then I turned here, and I don't know what happened. Sorry. This is not a reference to David, for after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. I want to read that out of the Passion Translation, too, just a chunk of that. It says, for after he passionately served God's purpose for his generation, he died. After he passionately served God's purpose for his generation, he died. And we're going to talk today about this idea, this last thing that we need to look at, I want you to be aware of, that might be something that can sabotage God's purpose for your life and God's plan for our lives, is this. We're going to talk about being sabotaged by snubbing instead of serving. Everyone say snub or serve. Say it again, snub or serve. We can be sabotaged because we might be snubbing something instead of serving something that God's called us to. We're going to dig into what that's talking about here for the next few moments today. If you don't know, my name is Justin. I get the privilege and honor of being the lead pastor of Red Life Church, which my wife and I started with several other crazy people about 9 years ago, eight and a half years ago now. And man, it is the honor of my life. If this is your first time here, if you're first time with us online, on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you're joining with us, either today or sometime through the week, I just want to encourage you real quick, if you've never taken this step, go to redlifechurch.com and fill out the new to Red Life form, our VIP Connect card. We can just say hey in the email and let you know that we're glad to have you part of the family if you've never done that today. Let's pray and let's get into this word this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence here right now. Thank you for making yourself known. Thank you for pouring out your unfailing love. Thank you for just letting us have a glimpse and just get a sense and a peek at the great goodness that you have available and the great good God that you are for us this morning. And God, I pray right now as we continue this time together in your word, Lord, that your anointing will speak to us. God, that your anointing will just bring revelation to your word, and that ultimately we will see you, Jesus, in everything we look at here this morning. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Put your hand on your belly right now. Right now, wherever you are, put your hand on your belly right now. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, I know we like to sometimes, and I think church, we're really guilty of this because it's easy to get up on a soapbox and pick on. And I know sometimes if we're not careful, we can talk about just how, you know, how crazy the world is and how far things are and whatever we're comparing that to. I don't know how far away from something it's gotten sometimes, but I just want to just bring a little bit of light. I don't know if you know this, but man, honestly, I think if we were really honest and if we measured up where we are right now and how things work in the world and the things that we have access to be honest, we're actually living in one of the greatest times on planet Earth. It's actually one of the greatest times to be a human ever. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just a few thousand years ago, we were living in caves hiding from bears and other things that were trying to kill us. And now I live in an air-conditioned house and it was 90,000 degrees yesterday and I got to go inside the air. Come on, amen, somebody. I just want to, we got, so important for us to put things in perspective and realize that when it comes to the human race, we're actually doing pretty good, to be quite honest. Is there some things we could make better? Absolutely. But we're actually doing really well. If you need any evidence of this, I challenge you, I want you to go to Family Dollar or Dollar General or CVS, and when you're paying for whatever you're buying, I want you to look down below the cash register, and I want you to check out the candy section below the register. And if you need any evidence to understand how wonderful it is to be alive right now, just look at the selection of candy that is available. I mean, honestly, I didn't know how crazy things had gotten. Do you know that Reese's are completely out of control? I mean, they've lost their ever-loving minds. I had this literally happen at Family Dollar this week. My mind was blown. I happened to glance down, and every single candy bar in like a 2-foot section was some version of Reese's. I mean, they had Reese's with nougat and caramel. They had Reese's. They had big cups. They had little cups. They had all peanut butter cups. I don't know what kind of psycho wants a Reese's that's all peanut butter. That's really not a Reese's cup. That's just a spoonful of peanut butter. Go to your Jif jar and get it out. You know what I mean? And here's the deal. I was okay. I was honestly okay with like the Reese big cups. Okay. Cause it's a little extra chocolate and who doesn't want a little extra chocolate? It's pretty good. But when they started, like, do you know they're putting pretzels in Reese cups now? Yeah, they have Reese cups and pretzels. Nobody asked for you to put pretzels in Reese cups. Now, if you're a fan of pretzels and Reese cups, you know, you do you, baby, that's fine. But listen, this is what I started having this conversation with Luann and the young cash register, the checkout, the whoever was checking out. She was looking at me like I was a crazy person. But I found myself, and I was half joking, but I was half serious. This is literally what I said. I said, back in my day. I promise I said this. Back in my day, a Reese cup was chocolate and peanut butter, and you were happy to have it. What's going on with Reese's? Why are we putting... Do you know they even make Reese cups with Reese pieces inside the peanut butter now? Now listen, it's probably great, but it's too much. It's out of control. And I had this conversation. Lan's rolling her eyes at me going, dude, you are out of your mind. The checkout girl is going, who is this crazy man right now? I mean, I did about 10 minutes on how crazy Reese cups has gotten right there. And then I looked over and I saw the gum section. Do you know what they're doing with gum now? There was 3,000 different types of gum. And I said to the checkout girl, I said, in my day, you had spearmint, peppermint, juicy fruit, and cinnamon, and you were happy to have it. I'm snubbing all these extra Reese cups. I just want a regular Reese cup. That's it. I don't need pretzels in it. I don't need M&Ms in it. I don't need some kind of concoction of a Snickers. If I want a Snickers, I want a Snickers. If I want a pretzel, I want a pretzel. And if I want a Reese cup, I want a Reese cup. And you know what? I'm full on snubbing all of it. And I'm going to snub it at the risk, knowing this, that at my deciding to snub where things are now, I could possibly be setting myself up to miss something that's amazing. Maybe Reese cups with pretzels in it are amazing. I'm never going to know. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the question. Here's the thing. This scripture that Paul writes, he's in this conversation. It's actually very early on in his ministry in Acts chapter 13. And he's still in the form of when he would go into a city, him and Barnabas are together. They would go and they would first go to the synagogue where the Jews met and worshiped. And they would begin to tell the Jewish people first about Jesus. And they would often be rejected. And then they would go to the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, to tell them about Jesus. This is where Paul's arguing, preaching, teaching to the Jewish people first and trying to convince them that in fact Jesus was the Messiah. And he's using David's life as an example, as if to say, we know that David wasn't the one God talked about because David died. But he inserts this cool little phrase about David that is really what God wants to do in each and every one of us that are born upon this planet and that he gives life to on this planet. It's this. It says that David served God's purpose in his own generation. And then he died. And I want you to listen to me. Every single one of us, I believe, God has a purpose for us to serve. Amen. While we're on this planet. Amen, somebody? Amen. But here's the thing we got to understand. The only generation I can serve is my own. Amen. The only time that I can make an impact, the only time that I can do what God's put me on this planet to do is the time and the present situation and the present circumstance and the present generation that God has put me and inserted me and you into. Amen, somebody? So listen, that means this, that if I am alive right now in the year 2021, with all of its complexities and all of its turmoil and all of the things happening right now and guess what? It's only a few months away. We'll be talking about 2022. But if I am alive right now in this time, in this season, in this situation, do you know what that means? That means that God has declared a purpose for me to serve right now. Not 5 years ago, not 10 years ago, not 40 years ago, but if I'm breathing right now, let's just everybody check, everybody breathe in, breathe out. Did you do it? Were you able to do it? Everybody did that? Okay, everybody felt your chest. Okay, guess what? That means you're alive right now. That means God has a purpose for you to serve right now. God has a difference for you and I to make right now. And here's what I got to understand about that. If I can come to terms with the truth that God has put breath in my lungs and has a purpose for me to serve right now, then I need to understand this. Don't miss this. Listen, I cannot serve God's purpose for a generation that I can't stand. I cannot serve God's purpose in a present situation that I am busy snubbing. Let's sit for a moment. Amen? I cannot do God's will in my generation like he did through David if I am busy complaining, hating on, talking about, and just generally snubbing my nose at the generation in which God has placed me in. The only time that I can make a difference is the time that I live in, and for you and me, that time is right now. Turn to somebody and say it's right now. Turn to somebody else and say it's right now. So if I'm continually at odds, if I'm continually snubbing the present situation, if I am continually complaining about, if I'm continually talking about, if I continually find myself saying things like, well, back in my day, it's going to be real difficult for me to find God's purpose in that generation and in that time and in that present situation. Amen, somebody? And so what I need to start doing is instead of snubbing, I need to start serving. About to say David snubbed his generation and God's, no, David served his generation and God's purpose was made manifest through it. Amen, somebody? Well, I don't like the way things look right now. I don't like the music that's out right now. I don't like what these crazy teenagers are doing. I don't like what they're doing with Reese cups now. I don't like what they're doing with gum now. I don't like what they're doing. I don't agree with all these crazy. Okay, that's fine. I may not either, but here's the deal. It's not for you and me to decide. All I'm supposed to do is serve God's purpose in the generation that I'm in. And to do that, I'm going to have to not snub them. I'm going to have to love where I'm at and love the people that I'm in. Amen, somebody? Okay? So it may not look like it should look. Well, look, the Bible says, okay, I hear you. I get you. I'm on board. You're preaching to the choir. But I am not going to be able to serve a godly purpose in a generation that I'm continually telling how evil they are and continually just beating them over the head, and especially if none of that is seasoned with any genuine love in my heart. Amen, somebody? It may not look like you want. They might not agree with the things you think they should agree with. They might not think the way that you think they should think. The present generation and the present times that we live in, the present culture that we live in, we might find all kinds of things that are wrong and unbiblical and things. Guess what? I got real good advice for all of us. Serve them anyway. Love them anyway. Amen, somebody? Serve them anyway. love them anyway. I'm reminded of David Wilkerson. Some of you might know that name. Very famous preacher from especially back in the, even this all the way back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, built what's known as Times Square Church. God led a country preacher from Pennsylvania and Virginia to go to the middle of Times Square in the time when Times Square, New York was wild time, not tourist time. This was wild prostitution, gangs, wild stuff. And he tells his story in the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, which shares the story of how the Holy Spirit led this country preacher to go to New York and to begin to minister to violent gang members and teenagers that were living on the streets in Brooklyn and the Bronx. And in that, he tells a story of when he encountered a very dangerous gang member named Nicky Cruz, who went on to be saved and now is also a fairly well-known speaker. Some of you know these names very well. Some of you, this is maybe your first time hearing of them. But David Wilkerson, in his book, The Cross and the Switchblade, tells a story of when he first met Nicky Cruz on the street when he was trying to minister to teenagers. And the Bible says, or the Bible, he says in the story that when he first met Nicky Cruz, he was very put back by him. And basically, Nicky Cruz said, man, if you come near me again, you're going to get jacked up. I'm going to mess you up. And he actually pulled out a switchblade and showed David Wilkerson the switchblade that he had used to stab other people, probably commit murders, be in fights, and all this kind of wild stuff. And he pulls out a switchblade and said, you come near, take another step, tell me one time, preacher, you're going to find out what it's like. And I'm grossly paraphrasing and misquoting, but here's the quote that's important. David Wilkerson said, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I didn't know what to say. He said, and these were the next words that came out of my mouth. He said, Nicky, you could take that switchblade and cut me into a million little pieces right here on the street, and every single one of them are going to love you. So yeah, we don't have to agree. We don't have to agree with everything to love it. Amen, somebody? We can recognize that there are things that are probably incorrect and wrong and serve it anyway, love it anyway. If I'm going to serve God's purpose in the present situation, in the now that God has put me in, I'm going to have to stop snubbing and start serving. Amen? Let me talk about a couple ways that we can either snub or serve. And I hope God leads us to a place of serving today. One way that we might snub without realizing it is this. Here's what we got to do. Instead of mourning what's dead, I need to start anointing what lives. Let me share this story from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it tells the story of Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel tells the story of the establishment of Israel as a real nation in the world. It tells the story of how Samuel, the prophet, was led of the Lord, and the people asked him to establish a kingship. And the first king in the Old Testament, the first king of Israel, this is many, many, many years after Moses, many, many, many years after the wilderness and the desert and Egypt and all of that. Samuel, the prophet, is kind of leading the people, but he's not really a king, and God was raising up prophets, and the people said, give us a king. And the first king that Samuel anoints and is led by the Lord to anoint is a man named Saul. Saul started off great. The Bible said Saul looked the part. Saul was a head taller than anyone else. He was a great warrior. He led and everybody. He was easy to follow, easy to rally behind. I mean, he was like the Rock. You know what I mean? Like if the Rock showed up here and said, hey, follow me to battle, I'd probably be like, yeah, okay, I'll get behind you. That's no problem. You know what I mean? This was Saul in the Old Testament, okay? So he looked the part. He had it all together. Later on in Saul's life, he got prideful, and the Bible says that because of some decisions that Saul made when he abandoned the Lord took the crown and took the kingship and the throne away from Saul and away from Saul's family. And after this has happened, and after Saul is kind of in shambles, and he's still in position, but he's not really leading, he's not really the king that God called him to be. This story happens in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Bible says the Lord shows up to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16:1 and says to Samuel, Samuel, you have mourned Saul long enough. And he says, now go fill your horn with oil and anoint who I show you to be king next. And of course, the story goes on in 1 Samuel 16 that Samuel's led to the house of Jesse, finds young David, anoints David to be the next king. And then, of course, David ends up becoming king. And it's from David's line of kingship that we now have Jesus. Okay? But here's what happens. Samuel was holed up in his house, and he was busy mourning what didn't work anymore. Instead of finding what was going to have life in it, instead of going out and saying, okay, God, Saul's done. What's next? Where do we go next? The Bible says Samuel was basically holed up in his house, and he was busy holding the pity party. He was busy having a funeral. He was busy mourning over what had died. And eventually, it's like God had to kind of come up and shake Samuel loose a little bit and say, hey, hey, you have mourned long enough. Fill up your horn with oil and go anoint David of the house of Jesse. And I just feel like sometimes we snub what's going on now when we're too busy looking back over what was. And instead of anointing and speaking life and serving and breathing life and bringing the presence of God into the current situation where God has placed us now, we look back at 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and we mourn what we feel like we've lost. We mourn and we get upset and we cry and we bemoan the fact that things aren't the way that they used to be. And as long as I'm looking back complaining that things aren't the way they used to be, I will be blind to what God is doing in the way things are right now. Amen, somebody? I mean, you could listen to some people, and to listen to some people talk, they would say that God is absent from our culture. God is not showing up anymore. There is no revival. There is no anything. I could show you different places around the world, and even here in America, that where God is absolutely busting at the seams, where souls are coming into the kingdom. Listen, it's not that God isn't moving. It's just that sometimes I get stuck on the fact that He may not be moving the way that He used to. That I was used to and that worked for me. Amen. Amen, somebody. Well, I just wish we'd sing those old songs like we sang when I came into church. Well, there's nothing wrong with the songs, but listen, there's a whole bunch of new songs that God will anoint and wants to use to reach a whole bunch of new people. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Well, I wish that we got dressed up and put ties and suits on. I wish we did that. I don't know who wishes you did that. I'm certainly glad I don't have to do that anymore. But listen, that's not where we are right now. Come on, somebody. Well, things just aren't like they used. Listen, we need to be glad. We have it's so wild, and this is a real problem, and everybody's guilty of it. We got to be honest about it. We tend to look back at things and ignore what was really bad about it, and then when we look at our present situation, we have a tendency a lot of times to only highlight what's bad and ignore what's good. And if we don't recognize that that's a human flaw, that really is like a psychological thing. When you look back, you don't believe me? Go to somebody's funeral. Who you know was a low-down, dirty, just absolutely dog of a human being. And find out if anybody tells the truth. Amen, somebody? Because why? We look back, we tend to only highlight the good. And we do that about people. And I'm not saying that's here nor there. I'm just saying when we look back, we got to be real careful if we're in a position where I am mourning what used to be and refusing to interact and engage and find God's purpose in what is now. Amen? Stop mourning, Saul. Fill up your horn with oil. I got a choice. Listen, I can either mourn what's dead or I can anoint what's alive. If I want to serve God's purpose in my generation, I'm going to have to stop mourning and start anointing. I'm going to have to anoint what's living and get over what's dead. Amen, somebody? Snub or serve? If I choose to snub, I'll be sabotaged. If I choose to snub, I'll be sabotaging the purpose and the plan that God has for me to serve right now because I'm too busy mourning what was. Amen? Another way, before I move on, just as a little side note here to mourning, if you're mourning something that's not anymore, listen, be real careful not to bury something before it's dead. Amen? In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 8:32, in Luke chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says Jesus comes into somebody's house who they told him the girl's dead and they're having a funeral and they're mourning and they're going through their cultural process of how they begin the funeral. And Jesus shows them and says, hey, stop mourning. Look this up in Luke 8:32. Stop mourning. She's not dead. She's only asleep. Jesus walks in, the Bible says, picks her up, brings her back to life. Why? She wasn't dead. She was only asleep. Did she look dead? I would assume so. Did they check her pulse? Probably. or else they wouldn't have been doing the funeral thing, right? But sometimes God is doing more than I can see with my naked eye. And sometimes God might be saying something. Hey, I know it looks dead. I know it feels dead. I know it's cold as a doornail and there is no pulse. But listen, it's not dead. It's only asleep. Amen, somebody? So while you're mourning, maybe not be worried about mourning so much. Maybe be worried about that it's not really dead. It's asleep. Don't be quick to bury something that may only be sleeping. Amen, somebody? Snub or serve. Another way that we snub things once in a while instead of serving them is this. I've got to be careful and I've got to make sure in my walk with God and when I'm listening to God, listen, that I am hearing God's voice for today instead of yesterday. Amen, somebody? I need to make sure that I am hearing what God is saying today and not just simply going through the motions of what God said yesterday, okay? Listen, in the New Testament, when Jesus, take it off the screen for me for just a minute. You can bring that back up in a minute. Just forget that you saw that. You haven't seen that yet. Just in the Bible, when Jesus first sends out the disciples to go and minister, he says, don't take an extra bag, don't take a sword, don't take any extra food. God's going to provide for you. Now go and tell people the kingdom of God is at hand. Then a few chapters later, when Jesus is about to go to the cross, you know what Jesus said? Jesus says, if you got an extra bag, grab it. If you've got a sword, take it. If you've got an extra cloak, you're going to need it now. Now, if they had been so busy and so caught up in what Jesus said a little bit ago, they would have maybe sat there and argued with Jesus, right? Well, Jesus, I thought we weren't supposed to take a sword. We're supposed to live by faith. Jesus, I thought we weren't supposed to take an extra bag. You said to not take it. You're flipping me out here, man. Listen, well, that's what Jesus said yesterday. You follow me? You need another example? Okay. Acts chapter 10, for years, for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jewish people, according to the Mosaic law written in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, would never eat pork, would never eat split-hooved animals, which included pigs and lots of other things that we eat today. And guess what? The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, Peter sees a vision while he's praying on the roof of a house. The Bible says a blanket comes down from heaven and all the unclean animals that are called unclean from Leviticus show up. And the Lord speaks to Peter and says, go, kill, and eat. Hallelujah. That might be my next tattoo. That sounds kind of sweet. That'd be kind of a dope tattoo, wouldn't it? Go, kill, eat. Getting high down. I'm like, God, sweet. You're going to see me. You might see that show up right here. Peter argues, Lord, I've never touched any unclean animals. I've never eaten anything unclean. I follow the law. Bible says the second time he sees the same vision. Go, kill, and eat. And the Lord speaks to him and says, don't call anything unclean that I have called clean. And this goes back and forth a couple of different times until finally Peter snaps out of his vision. And at that moment, the Bible says a Gentile named Cornelius had shown up at his house and said, hey, we got a situation. We need you to come tell us about this Jesus you've been talking about. And then Peter said, oh, it wasn't about just the animals. It was about the people. God is saying the people that I used to call unclean, God has called clean. Amen? Well, what if Peter had decided and did exactly what we often do, and I'm guilty of it as well? Well, I thought that God would never change. Amen? I thought the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless God, Revelation says, cursed be any man who strikes one letter or one pin mark away from this word or any of these things, right? Well, I thought we were supposed to base our life on the word of God. Friend, there is some truth to that, but listen, we need to have a little more grown up understanding of this. Amen. Amen, somebody. Let me help us get to a little bit better maturity here to understand this. Jesus does not change. Who he is, what he does, what he's called us to do, what his purpose was on the earth, the things that he has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, who he has declared himself to be from his word, those things are solid and those things are never going to change. But how he chooses to express that individually through the lives of his sons and daughters can change on a daily basis. Amen. Amen? And what we often do is we hear God say one thing for a season, and then we build a whole identity, and we build a whole structure, and we build sometimes even whole religions and churches around one thing, and then we get stuck on that one thing, refusing to hear what God, Jesus is saying right now today. Amen? If this was us, when Jesus said, now take a sword, the disciples probably would have split, and there would have been a first church of the no sword and a first church of the sword, and they would have had a big fight, and they each would have been fighting over who was right and who heard Jesus and who didn't hear Jesus. Amen, somebody? I've got to be careful. Now we can put this on the screen. Listen. Don't be so committed to what Jesus said yesterday that you can't hear what he's saying today. Don't be so committed to the thing Jesus called you to do yesterday that if he tells you to do something differently today, you're going to miss it. Listen, if I am, again, what am I doing? That's snubbing what God's saying right now. Peter almost did. Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. God says, hey, enjoy some bacon. He heard God for today. And in our lives right now, we need to hear God for today. God might have told you to do something 10 years ago that now he's telling you to do something different. Do the thing he's telling you to do today. Amen? See, religion, it's a spirit of religion that builds up a whole system about what God said yesterday and then refuses to hear what God is saying today. That's the exact argument that Paul is having in Acts 13 when he makes this little statement about David serving the purpose of God in his own generation. He's trying to convince them and say, listen, this is you're living in the Old Testament. You're living in yesterday. Jesus has come to fulfill that. Jesus is saying something different now. God is doing something now through Jesus. But listen, you understand that this and what we want to do, and it really is easier. Religion is easy. Because religion a lot of times will say, well, this is what God said 10 years ago, so we're going to make a list of rules and regulations around what God did and what God said 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and then if you just abide your life by those rules, you'll get to heaven and you'll work your way into the blessing and the favor of God. But you know what? That was never really the intent of God. I want you to listen to me close. Don't miss this. Well, you're saying the word of God is not important. Friend, this book is the most important book that you will ever put in your life. But I want you to get, but you need to have the right perspective of it. This book is not a list of rules, regulations, and dogmas. This word, the purpose of this word is to provide you and me with a path to get to Jesus. If I read this word and all I come away with are rules, I missed it. If I get this, listen, if I read this word and all I come away with are some cute little inspirational quotes to put on my Instagram or my social media feed, I missed it. If I come to this word and all I get is three steps to how to be successful and whatever else you want, I missed it. This word exists to get us to Jesus. And once we get to Jesus, this word exists to keep us getting closer to Jesus. It provides a framework. It provides a stairway. It provides the door to get to Jesus. And this is always what God intended. God never intended us to follow a list of rules and say, well, if you just do these 10 things, these 5 steps, these 4 things, then you'll be all right. That was never. You can see this all the way back in the Old Testament. Even in the Old Testament, before even David, before the nation of Israel, before all of those things, when the Israelites were living in tents and they were going around the desert shortly after they came out of Egypt, And for 40 years, the Bible says that they wandered the wilderness before they went to their promised land. And this is what the Bible says happened. The Bible says that the glory of God would be among the Israelites during the day as a cloud. It would show up like a cloud. And at night, that same cloud would turn into a pillar of fire. And the Bible says that either the cloud or the fire, often the cloud during the day, the cloud would move somewhere through the wilderness. And the Bible says that when the cloud picked up and moved, the Israelites would pick up and move. And when the cloud would stop and settle, the Israelites would stop, make camp, and settle. And the Bible says the cloud might, you can read this, says this in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, that when the cloud, sometimes the cloud would stay someplace for a long time and the Israelites would stay there for a long time. Sometimes the cloud would get up and move the very next day and the Israelites would get up and move the very next day. The point is this, the Israelites were following a cloud. They were following a living presence. They were following a God who was alive, not a dead list of rules and regulations. Amen. And that has always been the purpose. That has always been the plan. That has always been what Jesus, what God has intended for his sons and daughters. He never has intended for us just to look at some dead words on a page, put up a list of dogmas and rules on a wall somewhere and say, well, that's just, let's tack that up. That's what we're going to do. The rules and the dogmas and the ways to live, the word was only to get us to see the cloud. But we're supposed to be following the cloud. Not a man, not a preacher, not a church even. We're supposed to follow the cloud. Amen? And if I want to serve God's purpose in my now, in my present, if I want to serve God's purpose in my generation, if I want to do what God has put me on this planet to do right now, then I've got to start following the cloud. Following the cloud. That will keep me focused on what God is saying right now, on what God is doing right now. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a physical, literal cloud and fire showing up. Today, we have Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, living on the inside of us. And the cloud that we follow is not an outer cloud. It is an inner cloud where we can hear the voice of the Master. We can hear the voice of the Spirit. Today, because of Jesus, that is what we follow. Amen. And because I'm following a living, breathing, alive Savior, then when that living, breathing, alive Holy Spirit, when Jesus speaks to me and says, hey, why don't you speak to this person today? I can say, okay. When he says, hey, why don't you give this up for a little while? I can say, okay. And when he says, hey, you know what? You can go back to, you know what I mean? Okay. I don't have to be, whatever it is, I don't have to be back. I'm following the cloud. I'm following a living Savior. And as I grow, what Jesus speaks to me may change from day to day. Amen, somebody? I know this may sound weird, but I just really feel like somebody needs to be set free. Maybe the Lord's been speaking something to you that is kind of challenging you and maybe causing you to question things, and maybe because you've been taught other things, or maybe because God even spoke something to you years ago, and God's trying to bring an area of freedom to your life, or trying to lead you to something. And you've been struggling with that in your mind. I know this is for somebody, because I don't have specifics like this usually. You've been struggling with something in your mind, and you've been battling with God about it. God wants to set you free from that. Say, hey, let's let you know, you've been called to follow the cloud. Amen? You're following the cloud. Be set free from that, man. Step out and do what God's telling you to do. Step out and do what God's called you to do. Find the freedom in that. Find his anointing and his grace in that. Everybody stand all over this place this morning. you're in this building, if you're with us at home somewhere, I want to let you know that right now, no matter what your right now looks like, whatever your present looks like, when I said God has something for you to do, a purpose for you to serve, that he wants to work in your life, no matter how crazy your situation in your present right now, some of you said amen. Some of you might have thought, oh me, because my present situation is not ideal. My right now is a mess. Well, listen, this living Jesus, this living Savior, this cloud that we are called to follow, that living Jesus, he wants to invade your present situation with his presence right now. No matter how jacked up, no matter how messed up, listen, here's why I can't snub. Here's why I can't snub what's going on right now and I need to serve it. It's because Jesus didn't snub my past when it deserved to be. Jesus said, you know what? No matter what your situation looks like, no matter what led you to where you are, right now I want to invade your present situation with my presence. Bring joy, bring life, bring healing, bring restoration, bring grace, and bring redemption to you right now in Jesus' name. You know, with every head bowed, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a second. We do this just as a way to take, kind of block out distraction, just make this moment personal. If you're in this place today, if you're online today, you might just happen to be in the room and in the vicinity where somebody in your family, in your house, has been worshiping and having church this morning, but you hear my voice, you're listening to this right now. Something might be grabbing a hold of your heart. You might be feeling a knock on the door of your heart saying, man, this moment might be for me. And I want to tell you, you're absolutely right, it is. If you're in this room right now and you say, man, I need Jesus to invade my present. I need to let go of my past. I need to experience this living Jesus that you're talking about. Man, right now you can. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to take the first step to that. And the first step to that is receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. With that, that's just a fancy church way of basically saying accepting what Jesus did for you and me 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. You say, well, what did he do? 2,000 years ago, this Jesus that we talked about was a real guy, a real person. He lived, he breathed, he walked on this earth. He was a man just like you and me, but he was a man unlike you and me, because while he was a man, he was also God. And this Jesus, the God-man, lived a perfect life, never sinned, never told a lie, followed all of the law of God to an absolute T, to the absolute letter, didn't miss a beat. He did what all of us are commanded to do according to the law of God. And then Jesus took it one step further. Jesus not only lived the life under God's law that we are called to live, but then he also took the punishment that we are all, according to the law of God, destined to receive. He took it upon his shoulders. When the nails were driven into his hands, and he was hung upon a cross, bleeding, bloodied, and naked and broken for the world to see, he was doing it for you, and he was doing it for me. And when we say, accept, this is what we're saying to accept. This is what we're asking. This is what you have an opportunity to receive the work that Jesus has accomplished for you and for me. But he didn't end on a tree. He didn't end bloodied, broken, and bruised. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And right now, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And if you feel a tug on your heart, if you feel something on the inside of you saying, this is for me, that is that living Jesus knocking on the door of your heart through the Holy Spirit saying, follow me. Follow the cloud. Come. Well, I got issues. I got a past. I've made mistakes, man. I got struggles. Hey, join the club. We all do. Every single person in this room, maybe me most of all. But my stuff, my issues, let me say it this way. What Jesus did for me on the cross is way bigger than any issues I could ever bring to the table. not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're online, I'm asking you to say I'm praying this prayer. Put the raised hand emoji in the comments. And then there's a link in the description that I want you to click. And I want you to fill out that form. And we're going to pray with you. We're going to be there for you. In fact, we're going to pray this right now. We're about to pray this in just a moment. But every head bowed, every eye closed, that's where you are. I say, man, I want Jesus' presence. I need to know his presence in my present. I need to accept Jesus today. I need to commit my life to him. Will you just right now raise your hand all over this building, all over this room, at home, if you're watching online, do the same thing. Amen. We're going to pray. I want every single one of us to pray out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned, but I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Invade my present with your presence. In Jesus' name, help me to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for saving me, for forgiving me, and for becoming my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, in this building or in homes, wherever people might be, Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit invades our present circumstances, situations, Lord, like never before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're right here right now and you say, man, if you're in this moment with you, say, man, I want to make a determination. I want to make an intentional step. I just want to make a commitment before God. I'm going to serve my generation. I'm not going to snub it. If you're in agreement with me, we can just raise your hand right now all over this place. Come on, I'm going to serve this generation. I'm not going to snub it. I'm going to serve my right now. I'm not going to snub my right now. In Jesus' name, leave the hands up. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you will give us a heart to serve right now where you've called us to serve, to love our present right now where you've called us to love. Lord, help us to love the way that you love. Help us to serve the way that you serve, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you convict me, convict us, Lord, for any area of our lives, God, where we are snubbing your present instead of serving it, in Jesus' name. Keep your hands up, stretch them this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name. If you have a prayer need, we're available to pray. Let's worship for just a moment before we're dismissed this morning.
Oh, my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so.